Blog Talk Radio.
Can you shout it out one more time? I'm expecting great things. Great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life?
Say, I'm expecting great things. Come on, do you agree with heaven today? Speak it over your life. Speak it over your loved ones. Speak it into your heart. So as a man thinketh, hallelujah, so is he. What are you thinking about? Glory to God. I'm excited. I'm telling you, the rain is pouring down, and I speak overflow in your life. You began to understand that everything has a prophetic meaning. Overflow is coming. Overflow. Overflow is coming. Overflow of peace. and joy. Hallelujah. Long suffering, forgiveness, overflow is coming in your life when you expect great things. Amen. You can believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He's a keeper of his word. And every single thing that the word was sent out to do, it is going to perform it. Amen. 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 We're going to be talking about a matter of the mind, spiritual strategies for success, spiritual strategies for warfare. Amen. We've been talking about weaponry, and we're going to use our mind, the battle of the mind, and I'm going to talk about how to use that as a weapon. Hallelujah. Are you expecting great things? When you expect some things, I'm telling you, and be in great anticipation, and then you connect your faith with what you're expecting, I dare you to do it. God will make it happen. God will make it happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to thank everyone for joining in to another broadcast. I like to say Live at 5 with Kingdom Builders Development Institute, truly where we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for tuning in to another broadcast, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI.com. Connect yourself with people that believe in your success, that believe that you have purpose and believe that you have destiny over your life. Connect yourself with people that say, I am expecting great things in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank God for another broadcast to be here with God's people. This is Pastor Teresa Dox, and we bring you greetings, Elder QT Dox and myself from Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are truly blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank our faithful listeners, our faithful partners, our supporters, the people that push us. We want to thank you because we know if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So we're grateful that God has connected us with people that love us and show us that they love us, and in spite of. Amen. So again, we want to say thank you for tuning in to another broadcast, and even our audience that on the internet, that you're faithful to tuning in and you show labors of love. We're grateful to the relationship. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to start off with a prayer, and then I am going to start the teaching. Glory to the wonderful God that we serve. Amen. Just look around and begin to see his glory. Just look around and begin to see that everything you look at, that God did it. Begin to think about that you can speak a thing and it is established. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin a short prayer. Father, we just thank you right now, and we come to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We declare that you're the Lordship over our day, God. We declare, Lord God, that we are under your covering, God, and your anointing, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that as we go forth to minister your word, to talk about your word, God, to imply and implement your word, Lord, in the people of God, at the sound of my voice, that you would cause every distraction to be put at naught. Lord God, that you would give us a spiritual reign over the ear gates of your people so that we may speak your word, Lord God. And God, in the name of Jesus, I come against any distractions. I come against any dissension in the hearts of your people. God, that we will lay ourselves before you and the blood of Jesus will speak over us, God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, at what you're doing and how you're moving, Lord God. We can proclaim by faith, Lord God, that you are the supreme being of our lives. So we ask you to rule, and we ask you in the name of Jesus to super rule. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. But truly, Father, we just command our day. We command our day that we will be surrounded with your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's an important thing to take dominion over the enemy and to take dominion over your thoughts. Amen. To take dominion over your days. You have to take it because when God released a day unto us, it is incumbent upon us to understand that it's only by his grace and mercy. So he give us new mercies every day. And then he hand us this new day. Literally, he hands it to us. And what we do with it is depending on what you're thinking and how you are operating in the course of your thought life. Amen. So because God is so faithful to us, he said, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to let you be in the land of the living. And I'm going to wrap up this day and I'm going to hand it to you. So we wake up in the morning and we have to command our day. You know, my father would always tell us, rise and shine and give God the glory. You better get up smiling. Hallelujah. If you had a frown on your face and you didn't want to get out of bed, then your day going to start just like that. And he made sure that happened. But I say to you today, get under the covering and the anointing of an early riser. Amen. See, the Bible says, early will I seek thee. So we have to seek him early. We have to chase things early. We have to work the work of him that sent us, and then we have to work it while it's day. Because guess what? Night is coming. What's night? Night is coming when no man can work. Night could be literally night, or night could be literally when you're unable to work. Amen. So we have to work while it's day because night is coming. So we command the morning to take hold of the end of the earth and to shake the wicked out of it. Amen. That's what Job said in Job 38 and 12. So command the morning. Commanding the morning is commanding your life, commanding your destiny. Amen. So we take dominion over the devil, over the enemy. And guess what? He attacks us in our thought life. And then when we receive God's loving kindness in the morning, guess what? There's a beauty that's released on us of holiness. And the Bible says from the womb of the morning. Amen. Psalms 110 and 30. So just know how important the morning is. And I'll say the morning will always be. Because it's by his grace and mercy that we're able to see another day. And he released the beauty of his holiness over us. So we got to let his light break forth in our lives in the morning. Hallelujah. That's a whole different teaching. But that was freshly given by the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you and encourage you to get your Bibles out because we're going to go to, let's start with 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to go to chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, God, that you open our minds up, that we will literally see the engrafted word and not only see it, God, that we would absorb it. In the name of Jesus, we decree it to be so. Amen. I'm going to talk about the mind over matter, the battle of the mind, which is one of our articles of war. Amen. What does it mean? We talked about last week the darts of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. We talked about how we could quench those fiery darts. We talked about that. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5, we know that the word is true. And so I want you to just literally sit at the table and eat. Amen. Sit at the table and begin to eat the word so that we might not sin against the Lord. Okay, listen to this. For those who walk in the flesh do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, carnal is a battle. Carnality is a battle. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down your imaginations, your thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, you know, when Paul was warning the Corinthians, he was warning them not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, the devil, his wiles, because guess what? He has wiles. So the Greek word for wiles means scheme. I talked about that on last week. The devil has schemes, and he will make you think a certain thing, and you'll water that thought. Next thing you know, it's all engrafted in the fiber of your being, and you really believe it. Nobody can tell you anything different because now he has rooted that in your mind. So a scheme is the same word. The wild is the same word where he attacked your mind. He used the schemes to attack your mind. In other words, Satan, his primary assault occurs in our thought life. Don't let nobody tell you that he will not attack your thought life. Amen. I'm going to give you scriptures. See, the mind is the main central battlefield in spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, when you got a soldier mentality and you know how to control the way you think and your emotions are intact and you literally a dead man walking, hallelujah. I don't even want to go in that arena where I want my mind just took me because I want to stay focused on what God gave me to share with you. But every attack of Satan, it involves the human mind. That's where he starts. Like the beginning of the alphabet is A and the first number is 1. Hallelujah. That's his first means of attack. Is in our mind. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. Unforgiveness starts in your mind. You know, I can't stand him. Starts in your mind. So I want to discuss the strategies of Satan. And the Lord has led me to use Satan's weapon as a example of the tools that he used. I'm not exalting him. I'm just making you aware of his attacks, that we won't be ignorant of his devices. Amen. As Paul was warning the church of Corinth not to be ignorant, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, like faith without works is dead. We have to understand that we have to fight this good fight of faith. It happens in our mind. So Satan attack your mind. He attack our mind with so many things, food, unforgiveness. It's so many different ways that he attack us because we want to satisfy our flesh. So sometimes we have to fast so that we can get our thinking in order. Amen. So we have to pull away from some things so that we can go to some things in our thought life to advance the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom. The kingdom is within. God's way of doing things. Amen. We want to think like him. We want to talk like him. We want to act like him. We literally want to be the God in the earth realm. Amen. Little G. Little G. All right. What's up, G? You know how they say. So when they say it, they're really calling you a little G. I want you to take it that way in your mind. Amen. They say old G. You know, the street lingo is gangster, or I believe that's what they're referring to, old gangster or something like that. But we're going to say OG as God in the earth realm. Amen. So listen, I want to summarize the battle of the mind, Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. I'm telling you, God is doing some great things in our lives, and we have to take notice of that. And instead of taking notice of what the enemy tries to do, don't forget to give God recognition for how he's doing great things. And we have to know he's doing great things, but also don't forget that the enemy is trying to cause you to not acknowledge the great things that God is doing by taking you to another realm to think on the things that he's doing. Listen what the Bible says. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. The Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace." So what goes with being carnal is death. And then what goes with being spiritual is life and peace. So carnal-minded and spiritual-minded. There you go with that mind again. It's life and peace. You can choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to be carnal-minded or you're going to be spiritual-minded. You're going to tear down or you're going to build up. And then verse 7 says, because the carnal-minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So if you're carnal minded, it's against God. You're fighting against God. You're not even subject to the Bible. You're not even a subject to the law of God. You can do whatever you want to do. Why? Because Satan want to make you carnal minded. What's carnal minded? Sinful, worldly, fleshly. Are you sinful? Are you worldly? Are you fleshly? Do you rather feed your flesh than your spirit? If I was to sit some rib tips, beef rib tips, tender rib tips, some voluptuous candy yams and some broccoli or some collard greens. I mean, just this voluptuous meal in front of you. And then I set the Bible in front of you. And I say to you, okay, let's eat. What would be the first thing that you would do? See, God wants us to be spiritually minded. That flesh would be like, oh, it's nice and hot. I better go ahead and eat it before it get cold. I better eat all these fries before it get cold. I mean, I better eat all this before it get cold. Or would you study the word first? What would you do? Okay, we're going to leave that on the table. But why do Satan attack the mind? Why do you think he attacks the mind? See, the greatest commandment includes loving God with all your mind, See, this is one of the main reasons why I feel Satan attack your mind. Because one of the greatest commandments says, loving God with all your mind. He don't want us to love God like that. See, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. That's in Matthew 22, chapter 22, and verse 37 and 38. Now, this was Jesus talking. So Satan, he battles our mind because it's so closely tied to spiritual, it's tied spiritually to your heart. And what your heart is tied to is your mouth. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So he battles your mind because he understands that it's tied spiritually to your heart. And then your heart is tied spiritually to your mouth. I'm trying to tell you something. Hallelujah. Okay, now for those in Matthew 15, I'm giving you scriptures. And I pray that you're able to, open your Bibles and either take notes of the scripture, and maybe one day you might teach this lesson. Because it's important that we understand that the tools that God used will lead us to success in the kingdom of God. And I said the kingdom is within. And there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you have the peace of God that's resting within you, you're going to be healthier. You're going to produce fruit, not some fruit, much fruit, more fruit. Because guess what? Because the peace of God gives you more energy. I can go in a whole different direction with that, but I'm going to stay right where I am with the battlefield of the mind. It's a battle that the enemy want to take your thoughts. He want to make you see what's not good, and he don't want you to see what's good, and he wants you to think on the things that's not going to build up a person. You're not going to forgive. You're not going to walk in love. You're not going to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In Matthew 15, glory to God, it says 15 verses 18 and 19. And I hope if I'm going fast, I would like you to listen to the broadcast in archives because it is being recorded. Sometimes I get excited because I literally begin to see what I'm saying. And I just want to reach out and grab it. But listen to this. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So that substantiates the mouth and the heart connection. And then the Bible says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. What you say? For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. See, Satan, he's a trickster. And he battles for your mind. Because the way you think, guess what? It's going to affect the way you act. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's the way you feel. And then next thing you know, you're feeling you feel in some kind of way because you've been thinking some kind of way. So we got to cast down those thoughts. literally. When he tells you you can't, you tell him what you can do. When he tells you you won't, tell him what you will do. Hallelujah. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hallelujah. The word of God is good. I'm telling you, the feast of the Lord is going on. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when a person talking all crazy, you know, we don't have to judge that person. The Bible say righteously judge. So don't be afraid to righteously judge. Why? Because righteously judging a person is helping to correct them. Amen. Well, I don't want to be found judging nobody. But if we're going to grow people up, the Bible say that we should judge righteously. Amen. That's how you grow people up. Amen. Let me give you the scripture. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe the word. Amen. And when you're at your leisure time, I want you to read in Matthew 25:31-46. Talking about righteously judging. Amen. And then when we do it, we got to do it in love. Hallelujah. So God didn't leave anything out. We just got to follow the principles. We got to follow the elements, put all the elements together, and then pick up your plan, follow it. Because God have already established how to win the battle. We just got to learn how to win it. We got to use the tools. And if we use the tools, then guess what? Not only will we change, but you'll see changes in the lives of others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Satan knows that if he can control our mind, he can control our body. And if he can control our body, he can control our actions. And if it's left unchallenged, he can control our spirit. Amen. And next thing you know, he had been took over the house and put you out. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord said, I won't dwell in an unclean temple. So if the Spirit is going to dwell with us and in us, the temple has to be clean. He'd be like, I'm out of here. House ain't clean. That's like losing a man. He'd say, house ain't clean. I'm gone. Or losing a wife. She'd be like, house ain't clean. I'm gone. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. He said, I won't dwell in the unclean temple. Hallelujah. Those darts that the enemy throws, those testament times, the fiery darts were used as weapons of warfare. And I believe I discussed that on last week. So we got to know that the darts that the enemy shoots, they are darts that can harm you if you don't know that the darts are being shot at your mind. Amen. Let's go down to my notes over here. See, Paul was warning us that we should not be shaken of the mind. So the enemy wants to cause your thoughts to be shaken. He wants to throw the darts at you in the spirit world. You understand? So you're looking for something in the natural, but this happened in the spirit where you can't get nothing done. You don't know how to forgive. You just can't seem to keep the house clean. You just can't seem to manage your bills because those darts have been thrown at you. And we have to know that certain things we just have to face. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. Amen, amen. So he want to shake our thought life. You know, you look at somebody and you keep remembering something that was said about them, and every time you see them, you just feel in some kind of way. Those are darts that have been thrown to your mind. See, the Greek translation is shake, meaning to disturb or to irritate or, you know, imply to destroy. So if you take hold of something and you shake it, you have control over it. So Satan want to shake, and take control over our mind. He want to just play with our head. Amen. I heard a young man say, I said, why you didn't tell the truth? He said, I just tell her whatever she want to hear. Listen. Satan's strategy, his key strategy, is to take authority over our thoughts. He want to cause you to be confused, not to be able to make decisions, to be indecisive. Somebody asks you about your calling and election, you can't give them an answer. So he battered your mind, so he caused you not to remember things. So when you're trying to express yourself, you can't even remember. Listen, he will even make you question the authority of God. Oh, yeah. Listen, think about it. The first temptation of man, what did it start? In the mind. It started with a strategy. And the strategy was what? He questioned the authority of God. Yes, he did. I'm glad you asked. Satan, as he said it to Eve, remember? You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
Has God said, or did God really say that to you, that you couldn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He was questioning God. He was questioning his word. And what did it lead to? It led to doubt. It led to unbelief. It led to skepticism. Now, when somebody questions something, like question your integrity or question the words that you said, is to produce doubt. And doubt, what? It's opposite of faith. Doubt it. It fits in unbelief because you start doubting it. You doubt, is it going to happen? You doubt the truth. The Bible said men rather believe a lie than the truth. A lie can flow. It can go quick. The truth, it take a long time to get out. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Deception and seduction is what the enemy used. He used deception. You know I love you. I'm telling you, it's something about having spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, because the enemy will use what he'll say, whatever he has to say. And the whole thing is to get what he desires. God is so full of truth that he will activate those gifts in you, that when words are said, Holy Spirit will say, that's a lie. Holy Spirit will tell you the truth about a conversation that somebody might be having or saying. You know, my son said to me the other day, hallelujah, actually it was yesterday, my oldest son. He said, Mom, I talk to God all the time. He said, and he talks to me, and I don't know if I should say what he be saying or should I just hold it in. He said, because people don't be telling the truth, and I know they're lying. So he was asking me, should he always expose them? But I've learned that sometimes God will reveal things to you for your safety. So deception won't take its part in your life. Or seduction won't rule. So God got a way that he let us know the truth. Because guess what? He know the truth make us free. So we won't be deceived of Satan's devices. See, deception is a part of the enemy's strategy. He used deception, want to deceive us, to make us try to believe a lie. And I'm at a point in my life, I'm serious about this. I don't even try to prove things. I'd be like, you know what, believe whatever you want to believe, especially when it's concerning me. Believe whatever you want to believe, because that's what I'm really saying. I'm putting you in God's hands. See, when Satan confronted Eve, and this is a true story, he was disguised. He disguised himself as a beautiful serpent. Satan used lies. He had a religious spirit. I like to say that. He deceived millions and millions, you know, not just in a certain geographical area, but he's deceiving people all across the universe, the world. And some of his deception has advanced him. What did he tell Eve? He told Eve, you could become God. He wasn't talking about little g. You can become God. You can know all of the future. You know, your future includes eternity, predestined. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, he was using deception. You ever heard everyone is a child of God? The Bible don't teach that. The Bible says that my children, my son, my daughter, they know my voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. The Bible says that Satan has children. So if that's the case, everybody's not a child of God. Mm-hmm. And then deception says there is more ways to heaven than just Jesus. The Bible says there's only one door. And you got to come through that door, and that door is Jesus. And then deception and seduction say, God is too good to send anyone to hell. The Bible says that hell is real. And hell is a place for those that don't accept him. See, deception and seduction says, all God expects you to do is to live a good life and do the best that you can. That's a lie. We are accountable to live our life according to biblical principles. No. Sometimes good is not God. It could be deception. You know, some people will buy gifts and give you money. Because guess what? They want control. Deception. And the Bible, and then I even heard this, you know, the Bible shouldn't be taken literally. It's all parables. I mean, come on. And then you hear people talk about, well, man wrote the Bible. You know, man can make mistakes. Deception. To get you to start looking for mistakes and errors in the Bible. See, seducing spirits, they're from Satan. And they attack your mind. Why? Why do they attack your mind? To distort the truth of God's word. This is a serious walk. We don't have time to play around with demons. And then, the Bible say, don't suffer or wish to live. If someone operates under witchcraft, don't play with them. Take your ball and go home. Okay, I just threw that in there. Hallelujah. You can't play with demons. You cannot play with demons because they are on a job to win. You know, my husband played the song, what kind of fool do you think I am? That's what you got to tell the enemy. What kind of fool do you think I am? And then I want you to tell them, I'm going to tear your kingdom down. You just got to know how to do it. I'm going to take a short music break, and I will be right back. Stay with me.
We're going to tear your kingdom down. Oh, Lord.
Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down.
You've been
building your kingdom
all over. The mothers are gonna pray your kingdom down. Any mothers out there praying? I heard the mothers.
Mothers, we're gonna pray
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan, how do you tear his kingdom down? It's your thought life. You take authority over your thought life, and you choose to use the principles of God. You choose to forgive. You choose to love. You choose to serve. You make a choice to tear his kingdom down. When you could be mad, when you could be upset, you choose to love. Amen? You choose to know what God would have you to do by walking in the Spirit. Amen? Get into the Word. When Satan attack your mind, you take authority over it and tell him, I'm going to tear your kingdom down because I'm going to apply the Word of God. That's how you tear it down. Amen. That's one of the ways. Hallelujah. So we're talking about a seducing spirit of Satan attacking the mind to distort the truth of God's word. Amen. So the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:11, please write the scriptures down because this is the meat. This is the meat. This is how you get to the meat. You know, you're eating that meal and, you know, those of us that can't have a meal without meat. Hallelujah. Some of us want the meat. I mean, okay, I'm not going to go vegetarian on you. But anyway, now that Satan, now that the Spirit speak expressively, this 1 Timothy 4:1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaks expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. Listen, parting from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits. Listening to what's not God. Making room for doctrines of the devil. See, Satan used his attack on Jesus. It didn't work, but he used it. So if he tried it on Jesus, what makes you think he won't try it on us? Jesus came so that we might understand the tools that Satan used. So every single time he used it, we can just use what Jesus used to win. In Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, he tried to get Jesus to throw himself off a high place of the temple, the highest point of the temple. He told Jesus to throw himself down. He said something. He said, tell my Jesus to jump. I bet you that's what he said, jump. Since God has promised Listen what the Bible says. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Let me find it. And I hope you're searching. Listen what he said. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he has commanded his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. Deception. You want to tell him, you know, since he's going to take care of you anyway, go and jump. The angels got you. He said, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Listen, enemy knows the word of God. So it's important that we know the word of God. See, Jesus answered and he said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. That's deep to me. That's deep. He done told him that the angels going to watch over you. They're going to catch you. They're not going to let you hurt yourself. Go and jump. You holy roly. Don't let the enemy put you to a test. Glory to God. He said the angels got you. They're going to bear you up. See, listen. But anyway. So now let's talk about, we're talking about deception and we're talking about seduction. That was the highest deception and seduction, you know, that he won't go to Jesus and tell him, just jump. He didn't know that God and the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit was all right there in one. Understand that Satan's going to use the flesh to war against your mind. It's a mind over matter. The mind should be over the matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. So we got to walk in that anointing that was said about us. We really don't mind. Why? Because it don't matter. You know, I know a lot of times you care about what people say. Of course we do. But that's the flesh. Your flesh care about what people say. Your flesh care about what people do. Spiritually, we want people to be spiritual minded. And we want to be spiritual minded. But your flesh, listen what the Bible says in Romans 7 and 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my member. See, Satan used your own mouth, your own eyes, your own ear, your own touch, your sense of touch, your sense of smell to foster wicked thoughts in your mind. He want to blind the mind of the people of God. He want to blind the minds of unbelievers. Satan worked in the mind of unbelievers to bind the mind of believers. To blind the mind and bind of the truth of the gospel. Oh, yes. This is a true story. Amen. It's not fiction. I want you to get it. Think on these things. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, and I'm trying to stay in the same keep you in the mindset of understanding how important it is to Satan to cause you to think on what he's doing, not what God has already done. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, the small g, of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, shall shine unto them. For he want to blind our mind. He don't want us to know that we're more than a conqueror. He don't want us to know that greater is he that's in the Lord is greater than he that's in the world. He don't want us to know that it's our faith that can please God. He don't want us to know that we can use these declarations and create light. He don't want us to know that we can cast down every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. He don't want us to know that we can bring it into captivity. He doesn't want us to know that it's amen at the end of the Bible in Revelation. Amen, truly, truly. He want to cause depression. He want us to be depressed. He want us to be downcast, sad, discouraged, low in spirit, because he understands that these are the feelings that cause us to be despaired, in despondency, feeling dejected. See, depression leads to what? Suicidal thoughts or actual suicide. So he wants us to embrace these kind of spirits because he understands that it gives us a feeling of hopelessness. And then it produces us to be uncontrollably mentally grieved. It produces sorrow, headaches. You'd be crying for no doggone reason. I'm telling you, I want to slap some faces and say, come on, wake up. You're more than a conqueror. I'm talking about a spiritual slap. I'm not talking about a carnal one. Okay. You know it's good to laugh. But Satan want to use these circumstances that's in our life to lead us to feel depressed. You know, an example, you know, a great loss or fear or a loss of maybe you got suppressed anger. Sometimes what, low self-esteem? Or maybe, now this is a good one, unfulfilled expectations. I should have been over this by now. I should have did this. I should have, would have, could have. Want you to go through all these emotions, which is flesh, give you a negative attitude. I should have been wrote that book. Now you're beating up on yourself. Ouch. So in Proverbs 24:10, we're warned about fainting in the day of adversity. What is adversity? Trouble and distressful circumstances. So sometimes depression can cause us to have the negative attitude of those around us. He wants us to not see anything good, give you evil thoughts. So I want you to cast down every evil thought. I talked about sometime in February, I was talking about how about every time you have an evil thought, you just hit yourself in the mouth? And then when people see you, your mouth busted, and they know exactly where you're coming from. I think it would be nice. I mean, I think it would be good because you'd be killing and crushing that flesh every time. Bam! Okay. You'd be looking around and be like, dang, your mouth busted too? Everybody be walking around with their mouth all busted up. But I'm trying to tell you something. So as the man thinketh, so is he. So we got to think on these things in our mind to create our heart to be lining up with the will of God, because it's a heart thing in this Christian walk. I could go on and on. I don't know if it's good to you, but guess what? It is good to me. I don't even want to stop, but I understand that I'm doing an hour and I'm here weekly. And it's just like, hey, I wish I had some people just connected to me. And we could just get into work for 3 and 4 and 5 hours. Oh, my God. But I want to encourage you today to be encouraged and not discouraged, not to be depressed. Amen. Not to be despondent, not to withdraw. Push, push into purpose. I don't care if you messed up, slipped up, bust your head, bust your lip. Amen. Keep pushing. You're going to make it. Keep pushing. You're going to win. Don't quit, because the enemy already know that God has won the battle. We're just walking through the process. We're just walking through the process, because you're looking at this earthly realm, and it's going to soon pass away. Victory is already won. Amen. Victory is already won. Take up your cross. Take it up. Don't let your cross take you. Pick it up and bear it. Go through and win the battle of the mind. Because guess what? It's a weapon. Satan want to attack your mind so you can quit. He know if he attack your mind, he got you. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I want to thank you once again for staying in the battle, being a team player. And just take, you know what? I want to encourage you before we end the line to just cover people in prayer. Protect people with your words. Somebody might say, oh, that's a crackhead. And then come back with, you know what, something happened in his life. You know, come back with an answer. Come back with some support. Because when you push it out there in the earth realm, Satan take notice of that. And he hate it. Cover someone with your words. And love covers. And love protects. So a lot of times when people are going through things, hurt people. Be a dead man or dead woman walking, and you won't be affected. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, I'm loving on this food, and I'm thanking God for who he is and how he has not changed his mind about you. Expect some great things. Expect great things not only in your life, but expect them for someone else. Don't tell them to jump that the angels got them. Tell them that they shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Glory to God. If you don't know God or you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, he died that you might live. He didn't stay dead, though, because he had power over death. Couldn't even hold him down. So the resurrection power of Jesus is in you today. It's in me. We just got to activate it. Every dead thing can come alive. Everything that hurts you don't have to keep you hurt. Pick up your cross and move it out the way. Amen. Accept him as your Lord and Savior just by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God did raise Jesus from the dead and he is the Son of God. It's just that simple. And you are in the body of Christ. You are a believer. It's not hard. It's like ABC. Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you like what we're doing, sow into good grounds. You can go to giveify.com, www.giveify.com, and you can sow and you can grow. I speak that over you. And you can do it by PayPal, Kingdom Builders International at Gmail. You can do it with our Cash App. Amen. Business Favor. $ Business Favor. There's so many ways that you can sow. And you can even mail us your seed with our mailing address, 19785 West 12 Mile. And that's Southfield, Michigan, 48076. 309 is our suite location. I want to encourage you to sow into good ground and expect a harvest. We should expect a harvest. Amen. God wants us to be in expectation. And I want to encourage you before I close, expect some great things. Join us tomorrow. Same time, same place. Elder will be here live at 5. I want to say God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of the day. God bless you all.
Shout it out one more time. I'm expecting great things.
I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life? Say,
I'm expecting great things.